Let's try this and see if we're getting anything going now. I've had a lot of problems here tonight. There we go. Peanut Rider says we're 5x5, finally. All right, I got a couple of tune-ups to make here and make sure that everything is proper. There's 305 dropped in. Glad you made it. It's going to take me just a minute, guys. We're having a lot of rain, a lot of problems, and just about threw in the towel there. So if you'll give me a minute, if you don't mind hanging out, we're already a little bit late. I will make it up to you tonight. We'll run over a little bit so that we fulfill our obligations to you here. And by the way, this is Cope Reynolds and the Shooting Bench, and it's Thursday, the 21st of July. And here we go. I got a mic problem right there. Okay, I solved that. And we have one more to check here. Let's see. I tried to post a deal on the chat room there, and it wouldn't go. And Firefox was not working. And we just had a heck of a time. Okay, it looks like we are recording. And okay, all is well. Welcome. Let's see if we can get started now. Let me check the chat room. Chat room's pretty slim. You guys need to get your friends and stuff in here and get in this chat room, get some action going. I know that most of our listeners, most of our business, so to speak, is on the podcast and live streams and whatnot. But geez, looks like the love for the chat room has kind of fell off here a little bit. The 305, that may be exactly the case. Everybody's watching Trump talk tonight, and rightfully so. I'm not gonna get into it again tonight like we did last night. I just about went off last night. Matter of fact, I did just a little bit. So we're not even gonna go there tonight. So what we'll probably do here, I got a few stories I want to share with you. And then I think what we'll do is get back into our gear discussion that we started, when was that, Tuesday night or Monday night or something like that. And we're going to get Doc back in here probably next week. I'm not sure. I need to get with Doc and make some arrangements here. But he's got an interesting topic. That we both have a little bit of experience in, probably him a whole lot more than me. But we're going to get into that here sometime here in the next few days for you. Remember, our schedule is going to be changing here right after the 1st, actually right on the 1st. On the 1st, it will be 1st of August. We'll have a 2-hour show on the 1st of August, when also... Amy will be on the 1st of August. Actually, she's going to be on the 25th of July also, on Mondays. And then we will not be doing a show Tuesday and Thursday. We're going to try it for a while and see how it works. I swear, I hate to bounce you guys around and trying to get this all worked out. I've got other schedules that I need to, other hosts here that I kind of have to be, try to be considerate of and all of that, so I don't know how well this is going to work out, but we're going to give it a shot for a little while. We'll be on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with the Shooting Bench. You're going to get an extra hour a week, but it's only going to be in 3 days. We're going to have a 3-hour show on Friday. Now, the ending times will not be any later. Well, yeah, they will too. Monday and Wednesday will be later. Friday will be the same, because we're going to take Amy's time Friday afternoon, Friday evening, starting at 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern, and go for 3 hours. We're going to go from 7 to 10 Pacific. That'll be the first hour, will be news and whatever else we need to catch up on, immediately followed by Liberty Lounge. So your podcast, everything are going to be the same. I'm not going to break them down. So 2 hours Monday, 2 hours Wednesday, 3 hours Friday, and I get 2 days a week off. So that's going to be okay, I think. We're going to try it and see how it works out. All right, where to start? So many things going on here. It's just getting... Hang on, I have a very important message to check right here that has to do with our constitutional sheriff that we have, candidate we have running here. And they are... I'm kind of trying to team up with them and give them all the help that I can to get this thing done. Okay. I can check with that again in a little bit. All right. Let's look and see what we've got for stories. I guess one of the big stories right now that has been really making the rounds, you know, the cops have really, I'm not going to say they've gotten a bad rap. Most of the time they've brought it on themselves. And that is from shooting unarmed people or for doing things that they probably had other options to do if they were a little calmer, cooler, and more collected and possibly even better trained. I can't say definitively that any or all of those things are true because I was not present at a single one of those shootings. But I do have a fairly good working knowledge of what happens under stress and all of that. So I've got my own opinions here, and I've seen this happen more than once. The story I'm talking about is the black therapist who was a caretaker for an autistic guy. And this guy, this caretaker, this man that got shot, laid down on the ground on his back, and I don't know what brought this up, but the kid had the autistic guy, he didn't look like a kid, he looks a little older, had a toy truck in his hands, and for some reason the caregiver was making excuses for the truck, and I think the cop thought that the truck was some kind of a threat. This was in Florida, I believe it was North Miami, if memory serves. So he laid down on his back, hands straight up in the air. There's pictures of him doing it. And this cop walked up. The guy is pleading with him. And cop shot him. Now, here's the deal. He shot him in the leg. So what's the first thing that you know, if you have any firearms experience at all, anything that you might have done maybe in a minor stressful situation like a shoot house or some training that involves stuff like this, what do you think happened? Okay, it was one of two things or a combination of the two. First, it was completely an accident. The guy had his finger on the trigger and got nervous and pulled the trigger. Or he, what we call, mashed that trigger and may have been pointing towards center mass and mashed the trigger so hard that he wound up shooting him in the leg. Okay, my guess is that it was the first one. So the guy says, the guy that got shot, luckily he lived. I mean, he was shot in the leg, of course, that's usually not fatal. He said, when I went to the ground, I'm going to the ground just like this here with my hands up. And he's kind of demonstrating this from the hospital bed. And he said, I'm telling you again, or I'm telling them again, sir, there is no need for firearms. I'm unarmed. He's an autistic guy. He got a toy truck in his hand. And after a little go back and forth in there with the cop shot. And he says... again, he says, I'm like this right here, holding his arms up, and he shot me. It was so surprising. He said, now this kind of verifies what I've said so many times here. He said, it was like a mosquito bite. And when it hit me, I'm like, I still got my hands in the air, and I said, no, I just got shot. And I'm saying, sir, why did you shoot me? You know what the cop said? He said, I don't know. And I think that's probably the case more often than not. And I believe with all my heart that it comes from having your finger on the trigger. And don't even go into Glocks and 1911s and all that stuff. If it was a 1911, the safety would have been off. You don't pull your gun out of the holster and hold it on somebody with the safety on. If it had been anything else, if the safety wasn't off, then it was somebody that was exceedingly poorly trained. But you remember the guy that got shot in the subway in New York? The subway cops already had him down on his stomach on the ground, and the guy cop was kind of covering him from the rear and pulled the trigger and killed the guy. You'll never make me believe that he did that on purpose. Not in that particular incident. If you go and look at the, go on YouTube and look for, what would it be? Do a search for, just put in female Nevada cop fires accidentally or something like that. Some of you have seen that video. Matter of fact, I've posted on the chat room a time or two. And that same thing happened. The female cop was a big, big burly cop, already had this guy down on the ground, was cuffing him. And this woman cop was standing over, pointing all nervous and prancing around like this guy was going to jump up and rip her arm off and beat her to death with the bloody end of it. And she pulled the trigger. Now, fortunately, it hit the concrete right beside the guy's head. Scared the hell out of him. Scared the hell out of the cop that was cuffing him. Scared the hell out of her. Scared the hell out of a cop that was standing right beside him. And, of course, what does she do? Well, she goes, put your gun back in the holster real quick. Say, well, it just went off. Well, she didn't say that, but, you know, I know that's what happens. But I think these cops need more training. More safety training, not cop training, but more training is strictly in firearms. And that's what I'm hoping to be able to implement here is just that type of training program. I'm not going to teach them how to be cops. I'm going to teach them how to shoot and handle their gun properly. This kind of crap just, and then they have to make up stories and stuff for it all of a sudden to save face, to protect their reputation a little bit. So, anyway, that's all I got to say about that. There was a Detroit police detective here that was demoted for criticizing Black Lives Matter on Facebook. Granted, probably was inappropriate, uncalled for, unprofessional, more likely than not. I don't know. I didn't read it. But demoted for it. You know, they might say, how about you take a day off and think about what you did, you know, without pay, or, you know, don't do that again, or, you know, something. So I'm sure there was some kind of disciplinary measure that they could have taken without demoting the guy. So, anyway, that's what's going on there. Well, let me dig up another story or two, because what I want to do is go to this gear thing. I think that's, it's probably not, it is important, I believe, to everyone. Oh, stop. Probably the ones that are active or have plans to be active in the field when and if poop hits the fan, which I rather sort of expect that here in the not too distant future. Anyway. All right, let's see. Let me get rid of that. I already did that. By the way, I'll be in I'm waiting to find out, but I should be in Tucson weekend after next. I will be here this weekend. We've got a rifle class here this weekend. I'll be in Tucson the following weekend. I'll be in Utah the weekend after that, New Mexico the weekend after that. And we have another group of people actually in Farmington, New Mexico, that are looking to get me back up there again for a defensive handgun class. So that might work out well. We've got a lot of friends and a lot of former students up there. So that might work out pretty well. Here's a good one. I save a bunch of these. I need to go through and clean all this out again like we did the other night. But here was a two-time rapist, 43-year-old man, very colorful history, fatally shot just a week ago. No, just 3 days ago. Fatally shot after he broke into his ex-girlfriend's home. Now, what would you call it, ironic about this? The woman who had not been publicly identified told authorities that he showed up at her house just after 9 p.m., began banging loudly on the doors and windows. The woman grabbed a handgun shortly thereafter. He busted down the front door, and she lit him up like a cheap cigar. He had unlawfully entered the woman's home. She shot him multiple times. After he was shot, he turned around, ran a few hundred feet, and collapsed. Now, the thing is, she had a protective order, a restraining order against this guy. So I don't know why she didn't just meet him at the door and say, "Hey, you can't do that. You see this piece of paper right here? Whose name is that right there? Uh-huh. Yeah, right. That's you. Okay? And here's what you're not supposed to do. So if you'd be so kind as quit beating on my frickin' door and go home and leave me alone, then I won't have to call the cops and tell them that you're about to violate this protective order." So, I mean, that's all she had to do. She didn't have to shoot the guy. All she had to do was tell him, "Look, I have this piece of paper right here. You can't do that." That works, then, right? Maybe not so much. But anyway, she was home alone with her 11-year-old son. I guess she had her 11-year-old son there. She wasn't alone, but. Anyway, her and her 11-year-old son. So she had an obligation to protect that kid. She had an obligation to protect herself. And I think it worked out perfectly. I think she did a fine job. So I was stuttering so much because I was working so cotton picking hard trying to get the internet and everything working here. There's a police chief in Louisiana that has lost his job, been fired because of his exposing the evil of Obama in public hearings. Some of these speeches and stuff and things that he's talking about, you know, Obama's talking about, he's continues to denigrate these police officers while he continues to prop these other idiots up on a pedestal here, the Black Lives Matter and just criminals in general. It's not just them. So there's a case here in Louisiana. Police chief posted on his personal Facebook page, not on the department page or anything, on his personal page, he posted how he believes that cops and those in law enforcement are getting a raw deal. And he spoke out specifically against Obama and the war on my brothers, he said. He's a white police officer, so you know what happened there. I don't believe that he meant that as white. I think he just meant my fellow officers. So perfectly within his rights to do something like that. And he's frustrated with the killing of all these cops and white cops. And by supporters of this Black Lives Matter movement. And the all this anti-cop stuff going. So what does he get for his efforts? He gets fired. One of the residents there voiced a concern at a town council meeting. After the meeting, the lady said that while residents may say that the police chief is a racist, she does not know him well enough to draw that conclusion. It's beside the point anyway. The main concern is with everything going on right now. The whole country is hostile. If you are a chief of police, why would you want to say something like that? If he had been just a white American wanting to rant and rave, everybody has their own opinion, but my thought is that when you're in certain positions, you have to present yourself in a certain way. Well, you know, I would agree with her most of the time. It's just like this election coming up. Not this year. And this police chief, not this time. We cannot, and that's why we're where we are, guys. We're too worried about hurting feelings. Yeah, he, as a police chief, ordinarily, that probably wouldn't be the right thing to say and do on your personal Facebook page. Should it get him fired? No. Is it appropriate? No. But right now, this is not, these are not normal times. I can't blame him a bit for being frustrated. I can't blame him one iota for saying what he said. I'm sure he meant it, and I will support him and back him 100% in what he said. It is absurd that we have patriots, fine Christian, God-fearing, hard-working patriots in jail, having not been charged yet, having been in solitary confinement the overwhelming majority of the time that they've been in there, which is now, I believe, over 6 months now, and having harmed no one, having torn up nothing that damaged no property, hurt no individual, and look where they're at. And look how they're being treated. And we have people that have, a two-time rapist that is out on the street with a restraining order against him. Why didn't he stay in jail? Clive and Bundy didn't rape nobody. Lavoie Finicum didn't rape anybody. He got killed just for being there. He got killed for having his hands up in there. It's very frustrating that these people get called terrorists, and they haven't done anything, they haven't hurt anything, haven't damaged any property. Why are they terrorists? And what's all this noise about having a speedy trial? What is speedy about the? What are they putting together? What are they doing to make this case against these patriots? They've pushed them. They've gotten what they want. They've pushed them so long and so hard and treated them so bad that two or three of these guys have turned state's evidence on the other patriots. They've taken a deal, taken a plea bargain or whatever you call it, and they've managed to get out on the promise that they will come back and say things that will help to put away the other patriots there. So, bad business, that's all I can tell you. It drives me nuts to where we're going in this country right now. It just kills me. But anyway, I think what we'll do is take a little break here. Like I said, we're going to run a little bit over tonight since I was a little late getting started. So I'll be back here in just a few minutes, all right? Hang in there. Go get you a big Diet Dr. Pepper and just wait for me a minute. Things are moving mighty slow around here on this computer tonight. That's why I'm having trouble getting my stories up and going and all of that. So it's a good thing it's not Liberty Lounge tonight. We would be in trouble. I would be in trouble. I would be in so much trouble. It looks like I may be in trouble anyway. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Let's try this from a different angle here. Well, maybe it's going to go.
The bars are all closed. It's 4 in the morning. I must have shut them all down by the shape that I'm in. I lay my head on the wheel and the horn begins honking. The whole neighborhood knows that I'm home drunk again. If drinking don't kill me, her memory will. I can't hold out much longer the way that I feel. With the blood from my body, I could start my own steel. But if drinking don't kill me, a memory will. These old bones, they move slow, but so sure of their footsteps as I trip on the floor and I lightly touch down. Lord, it's been 10 bottles since I tried to forget her, but the memory still. I'm here on the ground. And if drinking don't kill me, her memory will. I can't hold out much longer the way that I feel. From my body, I could start my own still. But if drinking don't kill me, her memory will.
If you're a country music fan, particularly classic country, join me, Cope Reynolds, every Friday night for Liberty Lounge right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Nothing ever happened around my hometown. I ain't kind of just hanging around. But I heard someone call my name one day and I followed that voice down a lost highway. Everybody told me you can't get far on $37 in a Chevy car.
Absolutely the fastest 2 hours on internet radio. Liberty Lounge, every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific, 10 to midnight Eastern, right here on Survival Circle. Welcome back to another segment of the Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network. All right, we're back. Let's get away from all this doom and gloom here a little bit. There's so many things going on. None of it's good. You know, that's another reason it's hard for Amy to do her show, because it is getting increasingly difficult for her to find anything that's newsworthy as far as what she normally does, how she in her format, in her genre, I guess you would call it. So, anyway, I've got I'm going to save that story right there until probably tomorrow. No, not tomorrow. We're not doing anything tomorrow but playing music. Maybe I'll just throw it away and we'll just forget about it. It might be the thing to do. So let's go. Let me check the chat room out here real quick. Like I said, everything's moving awfully slow here tonight from the rain we've had and everything. So it kind of affects our connections and everything up here where we're at. So I guess I could always move to northern Idaho and maybe alleviate some of this. There goes my chat room. It's completely dead now. So let me just go on. I can't even see if you can hear me or not. I'm just going to guess that you can and continue to march. So we started this gear thing the other night and started out mostly as far as urban carry goes, your everyday carry. And then we talked about an everyday carry plus, so to speak, where you had a particular mission, you were going to be gone for a little longer than you expected, what you have in your pockets may not be quite enough to hold you over. So, alright, 305 said the sound is good. Mini just posted a thing, another police officer shot. Wow. Oh, well. I don't know what to do about it. The radio doc, I don't know if you were in at the first of the show there. We're trying to get a class going up in your neck of the woods. So I'm not sure if it's going to be a 2 or 3 day class. As it stands right now, we're looking to doing a 2 day class. I can allow people to take that 2 day and go into a third day in the night shoot if anybody's interested in that. So I'll talk to you later. I'll give your guys give you guys some discounts up there. All right, let's see here. Yeah, it looks like Minnie's having a little. Maybe it's not the rain. I don't know. She says she's having trouble too, and it's not even raining. So I don't know. Alright, let's see. Let me back up here a little bit. I see a little bit of radio discussion here. And imagine Radio Doc can probably take care of himself on all of this stuff. 305 is looking for a handheld. Peanut Rider, kinda. VHF and UHF radios are line of sight. Yes, they are. But as long as you can reach a repeater, you can talk all the way to the Santa Claus at the North Pole if you hit the right repeaters to get there. So, but it is line of sight from where you're at to the repeater, but the repeater allows you to talk long ways away. You get up where Radio Doc is at. If you hit one repeater that's hooked to this one system, you can talk over the entire state, and you can do it with a 5-watt Bofang radio. So, 305, yes, to answer your question. You're looking for a handheld. A handheld CB, they just don't work well. There's only one handheld CB out there that really worked well that I'm aware of. And even then, you had to make it illegal to talk on it. So a legal handheld CB will talk, across the street, across the Walmart parking lot. But, they'll do a little bit better than that. But they're not worth the trouble. The ones that we had, actually the ones I still have, were tuned up by a guy back east. They put out, I think 18 watts, and 120 channels. So they're pretty hot. They work pretty well. But you have to make them illegal to do that. So, they're illegal to talk on. They're not illegal to have and not illegal to listen on. But there's a lot that you can do on those Bofang radios that you do not have to have a license for. Well, that's not entirely true. I probably had not to get into this. I imagine everybody's heard it so many times. But let me make it real brief. Any word that you say on one of those little handheld Bofangs is illegal if you don't have a license. There are several frequencies on there that you can't talk on legally, even if you do have a license. But just like in CB, just like in so many other things, they have much bigger fish to fry than worrying about whether or not somebody's talking about having a family picnic on one of the GMRS frequencies. There is a lot that you can do with no fear whatsoever of getting in trouble on those radios. I'm not saying it's not legal. I'm not saying it's legal. I'm just saying you have no fear of getting in trouble. So, the ideal thing, would be to work on getting your license. But even then, you can't take those Bofang radios and you can't. What was I about to say? I was looking at what Peanut Rider does. I was going to say, even if you have a license, you cannot talk FRS or GMRS on those Bofang radios, or MERS, or the PMR channels. Radio Doc, go to hamexam.org. 305, let me tell you how to get your license. Don't do a bunch of studying on all the principles and formulas and all that crap. Don't waste your time on that. Hamexam.org. Go in there and take the sample test. The sample tests are identical in wording and format as the real test. You just go in there and keep, there's 435 questions, I believe, a pool of 435 questions. And they're only going to ask you, 20 or 25, if that many? I don't remember how many it is. So just keep taking that damn sample test over and over and over and over and over and over. And when you can consistently get 85% or better on that, go take your test. You won't be much smarter about the principles and all that stuff than you were before you started, but you'll pass the test and you'll get your license. And then if you want to study all that other crap, go ahead. Do that on your own time. But don't waste all the time that it's going to take to study all that stuff to get your license. It's just not necessary. I did that for my technician and I did it for my general. And it's easy to do it that way. Easy to do it that way. What? Doc, really? He still didn't nominate me for vice president. I was sitting here waiting to announce that. And you know, I'm just gonna join Cruz. I'm not even gonna support him now. I'm not gonna endorse him if he's not gonna nominate me as vice president. Oh well, win a few and lose a few, I guess. Amexam.org. Many just put the deal, that link up there for you. That's all you got to know right there. All right, let's go into this gear thing. Doc, I'm with you on the I'm with you on that topic that you Skyped me about the other day. We'll get together sometime and do that here soon. That's a good topic. I think it'll be fun. So, all right, let's go back to this gear deal that we were talking about. We got about, since I was about 15 minutes late, we got about 20 minutes. So let's go through some of this real quick. We talked about the everyday carry and all that in basically in civilian clothes, your urban stuff. But what about if you were, and I'm not talking about just especially for people in a militia or anything, but just if you, by yourself, you just want to be prepared. You just want to have certain levels of stuff to go by. You and your friends should have some type of standard that you can say, okay, let's go do this and let's go with our blah, blah, blah gear, you know, our level one or our first line gear or whatever you want to call it. And that may not be the same for everybody. You know, what we use in the military is not necessarily going to be the same thing that we're going to use in the militia or as a prepper group or, you know, just a lone survivalist out there. But you should have these things organized in such a way that you can just grab something quickly and go with it. So, excuse me, I didn't mean to do that. But, you know, ordinarily they have I've heard of people having up to and including a fifth line of gear. I guess in a manner of speaking that we can do the same thing. Although the first one is basically kind of like an everyday carry except in the field. You know, your field everyday carry, if you want to call it that. And those are things that you have when you're cooking, you're going to the bathroom, you're laying on your cot reading while you're still dressed, you know, whatever the case may be. You're down at the creek washing your face or something. There's a few things that I think you need to have on you every waking moment that if you're awake and you're dressed. These things I think have to be on you. In case something goes wrong and you have to abandon ship, you have to ditch everything that you, maybe you stepped in a water hole and you lost everything. But you need to have some things that are attached to you and in pockets that you're not going to lose. And naturally the first thing is your handgun and at least two spare magazines. Now we're not talking, you know, just the ordinary stuff in downtown LA, we're talking about out in the field in a potentially hostile environment or training for such. Earplugs, sunglasses, as it may be, depending on time of year and everything, but generally you're going to need sunglasses. Then that's not just for your comfort, it's for your safety, it's for your effectiveness, to prevent snow blindness and such as that. You get out in white sand, get out in the water, get on the snow. You can damage your eyesight pretty severely by not having a way to protect them. Now, there is a way to make field expedient sunglasses. We won't get into that right now. You should have a way to tell time. Your wristwatch, obviously, is probably the most convenient to do that. Some people refuse to wear a wristwatch. I refuse to go outside of my house without one. When I put a watch on my wrist, I don't take it off until the battery's dead. I wear them 24/7, 365, year after year after year. I rarely, if ever, take it off unless there's something, buying a new band for it, have to replace the battery, or it's time to throw it away and get another one. A couple of flexi-cuffs. We talked about that for the everyday carry, you know, on the last show that we did on this. A little bit of cash and change. We talked about that. A knife. Now, you might need a probably the same type of knife that you would carry with your everyday carry in an urban environment. Some kind of a medium-sized tactical folder or maybe a little fixed blade. A multi-tool. There is so many things with the multi-tool that you can do that may be critical to your survival, your comfort, either one. A tactical flashlight. Now, the flashlight that I suggest for this level of gear would be something that takes two AA batteries or two of the CR123s and is got a little more horsepower than our one that we had with the everyday carry that we talked about the other day. Also, in the field I carry, and I'm actually wearing one right now, and that's a little key fob style red flashlight. I'm wearing one on a dog tag chain around my neck as we speak. It's useful for a lot of things. Your other flashlight is dead. You've dropped it. You got to change the batteries. You're trying to be discreet, like I suggested the other day. Urban environment, I used it in the theater a lot. You drop something, or you're trying to get up the stairs after just coming in out of a bright sunlit day, and that little red flashlight kind of helps you navigate a little bit. A magnesium fire starter, disposable lighter, or both. Smartphone. And a Ziploc bag to put it in. And depending on the occasion and what's going on, a rifle and one spare magazine. But that would be a mission specific deal there. So that's not what I would call first line gear. First line gear, in my opinion, is a little bit more in depth than that, and more of a radio doc. In the first line gear, yeah, I would carry a sharpener. For my everyday stuff, no. I don't carry a knife sharpener on me all the time. What we're talking about with everyday carry and this field everyday carry, as it were, we're never going to be very far away from civilization. We're never going to be very far away from the truck, from your rest of your gear. So I'm not going to carry a sharpener on me when there's one probably 100 yards away. But I do agree, in my first line gear, where we might actually be out in the field more, yeah. Absolutely, I would carry a sharpener with that. I would start with a sharp knife. And I'm not going to probably, with any luck, I'm not going to ruin that in the length of time that it takes me to get back to camp. Let's see. Many, I don't know that the those blocking bags that you're talking about, those help with static and stuff. They are not going to protect that phone from an EMP. If you want to carry one in to protect it also against water, rain, water crossing, or something like that, then you might as well use one of those blocking bags as any of them. They're not that expensive. I've got a bunch of them. But if you're expecting to save the phone in a severe EMP situation, that's not going to work. Peanut Rider, me too. Got a Leatherman on me as we spreckin' right now. Let's see here. Let's go real quick over this this first line stuff, and then we'll go over a couple more. To protect it from tracking, you can those blocking bags. None that I've ever seen will do that. I've stuck them in a bag and then called it. And it rang, worked fine through the bag. It protects from static. It does not stop the radio, the signal from getting in there. If you want to do that, there's a couple of things you can do. If you want to do that, in your bag, in your blocking bag, as you call it, put enough heavy-duty tinfoil in there to wrap that phone twice And that will kill it. It will kill it deader than a hammer. It will not be tracked. It will not ring. It will not reach your Bluetooth. It will not do squat. If you want to do that and then put it in your blocking bag, you can rest assured that it will not be tracked. The other thing you can do is just put it in airplane mode and kill the mics. That's why they have it there. So, well, that won't keep it from being tracked. That'll keep it from being monitored. I'm sorry. Yeah, so the only way, if you can't, about the only way you can do that is put it, wrap it in two layers of tin foil, and it will damn sure kill it deader than hell. And you won't have to, do anything else to it. Matter of fact, this microwave that I've got here in the shop, I can put it in this particular microwave and shut the door, and immediately my Bluetooth says, phone one disconnected. So nothing's getting in or out on that. Would it protect it from an EMP? No, it wouldn't. But the signal, is killed. The microwave in the house, on the other hand, will not. Now it diminishes it pretty greatly. I can walk about, 10 feet away or so and turn my head the opposite direction, and it will kill it. But it's not like this one. This one right here, I can have my head right down by the door and shut the door, and it's done. It kills it deader than heck. So, well, 305, yeah, there's more than that, and we've talked about this before. As a matter of fact, I think we talked about it in our last show, when we talked about the having a smartphone then. The cell tower probably will be gone. There may or may not be a signal back up fairly quickly. However, there's lots of things that you can still use if you protect that phone. If the satellites are still up, your GPS, your calculator, your camera, there's a lot of documents and different training materials and stuff that you can put on that phone that will be exceedingly useful for you. A lot of these have different kind of apps that you can put on, and some of those will still run whether the cell towers are up or not. All we can do is speculate. We don't have any idea how extreme this is going to be. Will we be able to still get data through Wi-Fi somewhere? If it's a strong EMP, probably not. But there's still many other things that phone is good for. The clock, the way to tell time. I've got a compass on mine. I've got a level on mine. I've got all kinds of crap on mine. And if I protect that phone, most of that stuff is still going to be useful to me. Yeah, that's right, Yakima Glock. Bluetooth will still work with other people's devices that may have saved theirs too. So that's a good point. All right, let's go through this. I'm going to go through it kind of quickly here. Just something for you to think about. Like I said, everybody's going to be different. Everybody's going to have their own idea of what is best for them. But for my purposes, the first line gear is something that is very much like your, like we talked about the Everyday Carry Plus or the Everyday Carry Extra or your Everyday Carry whatever you want to call it the other day. And this will be kind of the required level of gear for most of the field operations and stuff that you're going to do. But probably it's not going to be required to sustain you for any more than, a few hours. So the first line gear would be the absolute minimum that you're going to have when you're in the field and away from camp, especially in a potentially hostile environment. This, your first line gear is going to add a little bit more stuff because you're going to need, you're probably going to want to make sure that you can carry all this in a vest or a small backpack or a butt pack or something. Your whole first line gear probably shouldn't weigh more than, probably 10 pounds, not counting the rifle. The first line, this is something that you would just, wander around aimlessly anywhere you're out there. your field everyday carry that we just talked about, that's going to be stuff that you're doing benign chores in camp. You've got your rifle is being is either secured in a vehicle or something, or someone has been assigned to guard all the rifles while you're doing other things. So it's a very minimal amount of stuff. Your first line gear, this would be something to say, okay, let's go and check this out over here. We'll be gone a couple of hours. First line gear will be fine. That's all you're going to need. So in your first line gear, it is going to include your field everyday carry, if that's what you want to call it. You'll have a canteen or hydration bladder of some kind. Probably a quart will be enough for that. Mine is 3 liters. You'd want a 35mm film canister, a pill bottle, or something full of cotton balls soaked with Vaseline, or something that will help you get a fire started quickly. If you get out somewhere and you get lost, you've had to ditch the rest of your equipment, you're going to need a way to start a fire and something to get going pretty quick there. A little bit of 550 cord, paracord, you know, 20 feet maybe. Optics. Now this, when we're talking about what we're doing here, I would say compact binoculars instead of a monocular. We've got a little bit more, it's just a little bit more critical when you're out in the field. My personal ones are 10 by 25, 12 by 25s. Very compact, very easy to carry, very light. Dual band radio with a throat mic. Absolutely non-negotiable. Light pair of gloves of some kind, a nutritious snack. Like I said, in mine, it would be survival tabs and maybe a couple of granola bars. That would hold me over easily for a day. Trauma kit, actually the same first aid stuff that we get in our everyday carry plus. A quality compass, a map of your area of operations, and a rifle and 2 spare magazines. That is your absolute minimum, what we would call our first line gear. Now, don't take this as gospel. Like I said, everybody has their own ideas of what they think they need to carry. This is what we think we need to carry. So that would be, even then, a radio doc, I'm not sure even then that a knife sharper wouldn't be a bad idea at all. I would never talk anybody out of it. But since most of us carry at least 2 knives anyway, then I don't know if I want to carry the extra little bit or not. But definitely in your second line gear, we would do that. And we'll talk about second line gear, second and third line, probably Monday. So, all right. So I want to remind everybody again, first of the month, schedule change. Don't forget, I won't go through the whole thing again. Well, it's quick and easy. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. 2 hours Monday, 2 hours Wednesday. 3 hours Friday. Fridays is going to be a killer. Not really, because, you know, if I'm doing 2 hours Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, that's really not, won't be any different than when Amy was doing her show. It'll actually be a little bit easier for me because I don't have to change everything and stop the recording and restart it and do all that to get going. So actually, it'll be a little bit easier than her doing the show, you know, immediately prior to mine. So I hope this works out, and I hope you guys enjoy it. I hope you'll still chime in and hang with me when we do all this. It gives you a couple of free nights too, as far as that goes. If you got other things you want to go bowling, go out to the beer joint, go out shooting, whatever it is that you do, you'll have a little bit more time to do that. Tuesdays and Thursdays will be all yours and all mine. We can go do whatever we want to. All right. Well, with all that being said, we're about the same time over right now as we were late getting here. So I think what I'll do is kind of ease towards the door and leave you all to your misery tonight. Tomorrow night, Liberty Lounge, 2 hours of fun in the sun. It'll be starting at 8 o'clock Pacific time, 11 o'clock Eastern. And we'll get with them. Oh, you know what? You know what? I have decided, out of the goodness of my heart, some of you have asked about this. out of the goodness of my heart, I have decided to do a 70s rock and roll show. And it's 70s only. And we've got a nice lineup picked out for you. And some of you will think that's a good idea. Some of you maybe not so much. But once or twice a year, I don't think it hurts to stray away from the classic country a little bit. So that's what's going to happen tomorrow night. Thank you for joining me. And thank you for joining me. Boy, I sure appreciate y'all joining me. It's been great. It's been fun. And I appreciate you. There you go. How about that? It's working. Good night. Gotta get out while the getting's good.
Born to race, he had a mean streak 2 feet wide. A son of a gun with a taste for fun and more than his share of pride. Take a dirt road curve with the devil's nerve, make a car dance across the mud, and haul and shine with his regular line till the track got in his blood. Was a real hot shot, and he bragged a lot, but man, that fool could drive. Cause he loved to be on.
You've been listening to The Shooting Bench. Tune in Monday through Thursday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. to midnight Eastern, for the most politically incorrect show on talk radio.
Mama, lock your daughters up, that's why our bunch is back in town. And them little girls get frisky when they hear that race car sound. They're bringing out the yellow flag, somebody's brakes have failed. There's a horse slick on the inside and a wreck along the rail. You better stand on the stroker, cause a bandit's on your tail.
Tune in again on Fridays at the same time for 2 hours of classic country music on Liberty Lounge.
It's a downright joy for a country boy when he hears them engines moan. But you gotta hang tough, and it gets real rough when you're out there on your own. Cause they'll push you around, they'll knock you down.
And catch Living Away Out Here with me, Amy Reynolds, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday at 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, for the only good news out there. Trivia, stories, tips, hints, and fun on Living Way Out Here, right here on the Survival Circle Network.
Stroker, get your dander up, this ain't no time to lag. You got to make a lap up if you're gonna take that checkered flag. Number 10 is closing in to even up the score. It's time to wave bye-bye and put the pedal on the floor. You better stand on the stroker cause you're blowing off their door. Blow the door off, stroker.